Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do, from Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Good afternoon and welcome to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. As usual, this is the time of your drive time show. It's it's getting a little late afternoon. And wherever you find yourself, thank you for tuning in and thank you for picking Eagle FM. Thank you for choosing Home Run. We are here until the hour of six. As always, if you are new, if you are a veteran, you know how we roll. You know how we roll. So let's roll. Today's discussion is going to be centered around the induction discussion that took place yesterday. Let's call it a discussion because we live in a democratic society. I don't want to make it sound more dictatorial. Now, the urban and rural, as we are all aware at this point, at least those of us that are interested in the affairs of what is going on in our country. And those of you that are not interested, I actually recommend that you start being interested. But not judging. Who am I kidding? I am judging. But moving on. Now, yesterday we witnessed the Ministry of Urban and Rural Development hosting an induction workshop for the newly elected regional and local authority councillors, regional officers, chief executive officers, management cadres, and administrative staff in Rundu in the Kavango East region. So this is something that took place home. And you can still find a very entertaining video. I'm working in the media and entertainment industry all at once. So for me, I find entertainment in everything. And all the protocols were observed in the beginning and, as you'd expect in any diplomatic gathering or a governance gathering. But my favorite part of the speech as an entertainer, I'll get to the, my favorite part of the speech as a presenter, in a few. That's when he starts talking about legislations that enables local authority, regional councillors and local authority councillors and regional councillors to access funding, some alternative ways of accessing funding instead of just relying on the ministry, on government coffers, aka, the annual budget allocation being done by the Minister of Finance. So it was one heck of an event, and more of it can be just find, the Facebook page of the Ministry of Urban and Rural Development. One more of that, and I will have to send the Honorable Minister an invoice, of which I'm pretty sure he will just answer that invoice by showing up here with a speech. So start investigating who exchanged, a piece of land with a microphone here, and we don't want that. Now, the theme of the event was accountability is the bedrock of effective governance to achieve effective service delivery in regional and local authority councillors. So if we're talking about accountability, there are a lot of things that you can actually make of that. And as you can imagine, this is a speech that supposed to take place, I think, in about 30 minutes. And I followed it. It went a little beyond that. But there are two things that he actually pointed out that, that the minister pointed out that caught my attention. And there was a lot of, legislative point has been made by the Minister of Urban and, by the Minister of Urban and Rural Development, that's James Sankwasa, yesterday. And this is just I found the, you know, I found the legislative, you know, I found the legislative lecture, if I can call it that, because he kept saying, if this is what you're saying, then clearly you haven't read the legislations that regulate how you are supposed to be running the official position you find yourself in. Now, I found that very interesting, especially on the part of financing, but we're going to get to that in a few. Now, as an entertainer, my favorite part of that speech was at the beginning of the speech. First of all, one thing I've learned is anything that you are going to, you know, anything that the minister is going to say, it's always good to laugh, even if it's not funny. But, well, to be fair, in his defense, what he said was funny, so not actually understandable why everyone was laughing. What did he say? Now, that appealed to me as an entertainer first. Well, His exact words are, and I quote, "Many eyes are looking at me here. I'm really, really, really lucky that Dwight is running late, so I can just go with the flow uninterrupted." Moving on. I already interrupted myself, so let's go. The minister started his speech by saying, "Many eyes are looking at me here, and mine are only two. But be that as it may, I'm sure you can look at me because I'm handsome. My mother told me I was handsome, so even if I'm ugly to you, to my mother, I'm still the best." In our local language, we call it chivikuvantu. This is where my Zambezian now comes in handy. I think that's a very self-esteem boosting speech. I would write that in big fonts and then just make a post out of it and put in my room so I can read it to myself every now and then. Because, well, let's face it, we have all been told, but some of us mostly by our grandparents, but your mom will tell you you're handsome from time to time. Those are not the words I would rely on if I were you, because your grandma will make you think you are James Bond. Man, we all know you are James, not Bonding. So, getting back to the presenter part of me, or where we are just talking about what is going on in this, what went on yesterday that is in the Kavango East region in Rundu. Now, for those of you that have been living under a rock, we've just had our regional and local authority elections, and the victorious public officials have been sworn in, and they just call it an they're in I don't want to say initiation, because I don't want it to sound more like it's a, how do I put it, like a, like a cult. It's not a orientation, that's the word I was looking for, so that's more academic than Illuminati. So, there are a lot of things that the urban and rural development pointed out in here. And, let's just go through them one by one. One, we are not political party functionaries in the regional and in the regional or local authority council, but individuals who entered the doors of the councils through political parties. Now, that was a very good place to start, because this is not just in Namibia. You have a lot of political individuals. And let me just say public officials, and this is not just in Namibia, this is the world over, that find themselves in public office, and more often they are torn in between who to serve. And the good book, if you're a Christian, knows that it says you can't serve two masters all at once. So you find yourself in public office, and you got into that office through a political party. After getting into that office through a political party, then you put your hand on that very good book, the one that you spiritually emphasize, and then swear allegiance to the Constitution of Namibia, not the constitution of your political party. Maybe you swore to that, but we all know that the Constitution of Namibia carries triumphs pretty much every piece of legislation under the Namibian sun. I'm so going to regret that for reasons only I know. Moving on. One thing, you go through a political party. Each of these local authority and regional officials went through political parties, at least those ones that emerged victorious. So they are now occupying public office where they are required to serve exactly that, the public. The vehicle that got them there was their political party. But now they are in that office that has the mandate that requires them to serve the people. Now it's very easy. I would find myself going, okay, now who do I serve here? Do I serve my political party interest or do I serve the interest of the public? They are not in conflict all the times, but as you can bet, they are not running congruent to one another all the time. More often, from time to time, if I can use that one, those words, from time to time, they are bound to be a few conflicts here and there. I mean, yeah. So now you have to pick. So and as it has been observed more often than not, again, not just in Namibia, the world over, it's much easier to prioritize the interest of the political party that enabled you to end up in that political party, in that public office, than serving the public. So that's one of those actually very difficult thing to address, and it's not that black and white. It doesn't have a switch that you can just switch on and off in order to change people's mind. And you're looking at different public officials here with different personalities and different backgrounds and different disciplines. So they have, different priorities, obviously. And again, this brings us to the very, a clear-cut difference between practical and theory. It's very easy to just, go through a political party and then find yourself in public office and, now you're like, okay, who do I serve? My political party or the public? Now, the minister here is emphasizing that, as soon as you get in that political party, we understand you. As soon as you get in that public office, we understand that you got in that public office through your respective political parties. But once you are in this office, you only have one direction to look at. What does the public need? Let's just face it here. Is that really easy? Because I'm of the opinion that it's really not. Am I emphasizing that people must actually serve their political party more than the public? I'm just saying it's one of those things that is actually easier said than done. It's a serious battle. And the office that everyone is occupying on a regional, you can actually, this is something that go all the way through, all the way through to the executive branch. And this is where you are now, I'm pretty sure that's the conundrum that you are going to find yourself even if you are in a presidential position. Who do you prioritize now? The public? Or your political party? Your political party got you there, but the office you are now occupying requires you to serve everyone, irrespective of which political party the individual or the group belongs to. Translation: once you find yourself in a ministerial position or governor position, or even though those are political appointees. You find yourself in a presidential position, local authority, local councillors, regional. All these offices requires you. I now get the conundrum. They require you to go more often. If you wanna go through independent candidate for some of them, you can go ahead and just do that. And we know how tricky that is. So, which is why it's much easier to go through a political party. But then again, when you go through a political party and find yourself in a public office, now you have somewhat, to some degree, conflicting requirements. Now, you have conflicting requirements. One is telling you, well, we got you there, and one is telling you, forget everything. Now that you are here, for this tenure that you are going to serve, just prioritize us. But the minister is actually right, because once you find yourself in that office, there is not a single piece of legislation that gives you the mandate of what you are allowed, of what you are required to do by that office, that tells you that prioritize your political party. Nope, it doesn't. It's about service provision to the best of the public, to the best of your ability, in order to serve who? The public. And that includes everyone, irrespective of which political party they belong to. You are there to serve everyone. You are there to serve Namibian citizens. So I'm still, going, how the heck do you pull that off? So on housing now, so more often when it comes to financing, One thing that is more often pointed out, and this is not just on a constituency original level. We hear somewhat the same thing on a ministerial level, again, all the way to the, executive branch. There are a lot of projects that we cannot carry out due to financial issues. Now, fortunately, it turns out, from the look of things, the minister went on to actually quote pieces of legislation that two that I was able to, and my technology is not technology. The two that he actually pointed out mostly was the Local Authority Act and the Regional Councils Act, which is why I called it earlier that it sounded more of a more of a lecture. That if there were those were local authorities or regional councils, but he did point out that he was impressed by, let me just say, 2% impressed. And I'm saying 2% impressed because there were two offices. I'm not sure if those were from the, if he said those were from the regional council or the local authority, that approached his office and said, Honorable Minister, we need money for a lot of projects that would, developmental projects that would like to, to implement in our regions, but the money that seems to be coming from the Ministry of Finance is not enough. And we heard from a piece of legislation that we are allowed to borrow money. And again, you cannot just run around and start borrowing money, turns out. It also, you have to go through the minister, and it also requires approval from the Ministry of Finance, which is not surprising. I mean, we're talking about money. It was at that point when I went, okay, there was a little bit of a Mozambique bell ringing at the back of my head, but the point is, I like the oversight that from a regional level, you can actually, in terms of developmental projects, you can go through the, through the Ministry of Urban and Rural Development, which then, with the final stamp of approval from the look of things from the Ministry of Finance, for you to actually, access money, alternatively from the, from the annual budget allocation, again, from the Ministry of Finance. And it turns out you can do that. But that Mozambique bell that was ringing at the back of my head, that one was silenced by the, when the minister went on to basically point out the chain of command that you actually have to follow. It's not something that someone have to just scratch their head and come up with that. In other words, you need the right Minister of Finance all the time. And you also need the right Minister of Urban and Rural Development, again, all the time. And you need the right regional and local authority councillors, or local authority councils, to actually pull that off. Otherwise, that's when I went like, the chances of ending up with a Mozambique is really high. But don't you worry about it. Don't you worry. Let's just focus on the positive here. Let's focus on the positive here. So, again, some of the exact words that were used by the minister was that regional and local authority councils is where the tire hit the road. So if mismanagement is done on that level, then the whole country is pretty much screwed. Now, the advantages that actually comes with this. First of all, the National Council is literally made up of councillors. And one of the things they are allowed to do is recommend topics of deliberation to the National Assembly. And we know that if you look at the cybersecurity bill and, cybersecurity bills, among other bills that have been on standby since the dinosaurs roamed this planet, you know that the deliberation sometimes takes, like, seriously, forever at this point, it's safe to say. But at least on paper, that's how it is. Oh, we will get to companies in a few, The minister also pointed out certain things in terms of, especially in explaining the procurement procedure. But he did point out something that made me go like, Honorable Minister, that's going to be a little tricky, but we'll be there in a few. So, local authority level, your national council, literally made up of councillors. And that means these are the people that are in more close proximity to you than the president is. You have a better chance of making an appointment with a councillor than the president. Here's the thing. The president is much busier, I would say, in comparison. Because, if you're a councillor, you're just in charge of a constituency. A region, a governor, also just, you're on a regional level. But if you're a president, you're dealing with the entire country. So the schedule there is not very difficult to imagine. I mean, the size of it. And also, it's much easier for the people in the, for people that are scattered all across the country to address or to pass pressing issues, to pass pressing issues to their councillors and local regional authorities than to the executive branch. So, it's also the, it's also the advantage of access, because you have more, you have more close proximity to your councillor or to your local and regional authorities than you do to, take a minister or a president. So if you look at it, so.
I will correct you. Objection in the court.
Go on.
Objection, Helmut.
Go on.
I'm still standing by my own little testimony of 26 November 2025. I almost said 2027. There's no elections in 2027.
Oh, no. Well, come on.
I didn't know any of the three candidates on the ballot the day I went to vote. We also did elections coverage here.
Yeah.
There were only three candidates for Windhoek East. I didn't know any of them because I don't know where they campaigned, who they canvassed votes for. So I don't know. The most elder, because I don't want to sound rude or, I was just now given a speech of, respect your elders. I don't want to sound rude.
Are you?
Let's just say it's a family member who's older than me.
Okay.
I don't want to sound rude, but, and that's not to all other elderly out there, but The dimension is the councillor or the candidate that stood in Windhoek East, the eldest of the three. If anyone saw that ballot, you would know just who would be the eldest, just from features, yeah, primarily,
yeah,
grey beard, 101, mm-hmm, and grey hair. However, I don't know who.
Yes, you're up with the violence, didn't you?
No, but I don't know where that guy campaigned for Helmut. And hence the reason why I specifically designed the poster that we've got for today's The Home Run, mm-hmm, literally by saying, you know, Sankwasa is championing Namibia first.
The point that I was in the middle of actually concluding when you walked in was one where the minister, James Sankwasa, said, regional and local authority is where the tire hits the road in terms, you know, because if you are looking, if you want to improve a service provision, it's doing it on a local level and addressing issues on a local level is much easier than expecting everything to come from the executive branch.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that was why we did the decentralization discussion last year.
Exactly. Yeah, so it's much easier, local authority leaders interact more with the people on the ground than the president does.
Mm.
Yeah, so in terms of addressing service provision related needs, it's much easier to be done on a local authority level than actually expecting everything to come from the executive branch, because every time that we talk about development, it's much easier to just say, this president, and this is something that you hear a lot.
Mm.
Yeah. This president did not change anything since, they were in office for 5 years, or, you know, if they had an extended term, 10 years, but they didn't change anything. But that's actually where I think the word change now must be defined as what constitutes change, because how much change do you want, the president alone can change? Can implement?
Or the minister.
Or the minister.
Because obviously the minister has to now report in cabinet meetings to the fellow cabinet members, the other ministers, to the prime minister, and then also to the president.
Now looking at the chain of command, I think it's very important when you come to, it's important to understand how, it's important to understand how the chain of command works. Yeah. Now, the local authority leaders were given some interesting lecture. I'm still calling it a lecture by the Minister of the Regional Councils Act and the Regional Councils Act and the Local Authority Act. I don't know the one, one dilemma.
Which dilemma?
He started off by pointing out song that I think it's safe to say you and I have been singing for a while. When you find yourself in public office, you are there to serve the people.
Of course.
Let's not end up in a political squabble because we are serving on the one council, but we are from different political parties. Because once we are in that public office, your political party becomes secondary. Serving the public becomes primary.
Plus, the past 4 years, and this is where history comes in, Helmut. And that's why we obviously on the Home Run, we love history. Because history gives you a look back to try and understand why are we at the level that we are currently today?
Yeah.
So since 2020 all the way to 2025 last year's particular, if we can call it that, the cycle, that 5-year cycle of local authority strategies that the various political parties try to implement through their local councillors on the various local authorities that they obviously were in charge of,
mm-hmm,
is that the first and foremost thing that they thought, and this has even been, this is where I also deviate from what the journalists were also doing, the journalists on the ground. Because the journalists went and looked at local authorities like the platform where even no unity can take place, meaning the opposition councillors and the ruling party councillors may not sit around the same table, strategize, and think or come to a common
let's call it a common goal, a common benefit for the broader community. Now, if they don't sort out their differences with each other, then did they really think that Ministry of Urban and Rural Development would approve any budget that they put before that ministry and motivate to that ministry why that budget must take place? Hamoud, it has defeated the logic that I have. Let me rather say, the logic that was applied defeated me with my logic, because I was trying to understand why development is not taking place. And then every time when the pieces of the jigsaw start falling in place, with Shafuda last year in September, at the end of September, when I went to that civic society engagement with the minister, before she had to table the mid-year budget review. Mm-hmm. Remember the discussion we had then, where she cited and she literally unveiled to us, by September last year, 30% of the development budget had only been spent. 30%.
That was during the midterm budget review.
Before. Midterm budget review, remember, is in October.
In October, yeah.
She said this in September at the event that was held at Hilton with the civic society representatives. Civic society are all the NGOs that operate.
Saying that in September means you don't have time to actually...
And get this. Sankwasa went and said yesterday in Rundu that the... What was the thing's name? The sort of like outstanding accounts should be handed in. No, not outstanding accounts. No, it is outstanding accounts. He cited all outstanding debts by SOEs, ministries, government agencies, and offices across the country. Sort of like a tabulated, you know, documentary evidence of the current situation in terms of the financial situation at many of these local authorities, where you've got many of these branches of the various ministries in these other local authorities. That has to be given at the end of March to him as Sankwasa. So you see puzzle piece number one. You saw puzzle piece number two that Shafuda gave last year in September.
Yeah.
And remember that platform of September was so that the civic society guys can provide inputs into potentially what should be changed or contemplated for end of next month, end of February, when the new budget has to be introduced. Mm-hmm. Then you had to look at the particular discussion in terms of, you know, was there any campaigning by the politicians or the political parties regarding what they are trying to convince the various voters on? Which brought me to that interview I had with the Namibia Institute for Democracy guys last week regarding, you know, their observer mission report, in terms of what do they see before the elections? Meaning what did parties campaign on? What were the factors that led to, or actually was there any motivating factors for the electorate, meaning the voters, the communities, to participate in the campaigning?
So are we talking regional and local authority? Like?
Yeah, last year's elections. Okay. And the parties that must to campaign for that.
Yeah.
They had to canvass votes. Where I still say, and I have got proof, because the proof is I have siblings and I have other people, my neighbors, and I have four dogs that have not seen any of those three candidates that stood for Windhoek East. I did not see one of them campaigning for any or canvassing for a vote in my street. I did not see anything. And it is actually, if you can call it a scam or a sham, specifically in how, you know, candidates literally campaign or canvass for things, mm-hmm. Because, you know, it doesn't really serve the purpose of the local authority, because I don't know what needs he knows that I probably have or that my neighbors have. Were we called to a school hall? Was there school hall engagement? And remember, there are so many school halls in this Windhoek East constituency.
Yeah.
You've got Cedar of Primary School. You've got St. Taurus High School. You've got St. Paul's right here behind us. You've got Dagbreek here right next to us.
Yeah.
All of them probably had a polling station. I say probably because I didn't walk past that day, past St. Paul's up this way with Samuel Madrive.
Yeah, but Dagbreek had one.
Dagbreek had one.
Yeah.
St. Taurus had one. And Cedar of Primary School had a polling station. So for whom were votes canvassed from? Now, Sankwasa makes a good point. I don't know how much, because you stay in Kommersdal. Did you by any chance see any candidate for the Kommersdal and Windhoek West constituency? Because there's a part of Kommersdal that falls into Windhoek West. Yeah. And then Windhoek West, and then Kommersdal literally starts from, I think, from Elim Primary School. So you've got to go past Park Foods.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know where
Park Foods,
yeah. Okay. So from, if you draw a line from Park Foods heading that way, to the west. Yeah. You're heading to Oshumite with that road.
Yeah.
All that specifically is Kommersdal. It's up till you get to that border road, that road that divides Kommersdal from Oshumite.
Literally Oshumite Road.
Yeah. Oshumite Road. Isn't it Shanghai? Isn't it Shanghai Road?
That's Oshumite Road. It runs all the way from Hakana all the way.
All the way through to Rocky Crest.
Yeah.
Okay. So where you get to Oshumite Road, the border road, that's Kommersdal. Did you see any of the candidates canvas, campaign in your street? I'm not revealing your address, but just think about the details. Just think about the details. Did you see anyone?
I actually saw one guy. Or had, you know, just had to set up one heck of a PR system.
Those guys that drive down the road going like, please show up to...
Oh, no, those ones didn't drive. They just, they decided to go immobile.
Oh.
They just set up the whole thing. They had flags, the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's just one.
Yeah.
And I think I saw one or two driving around, but I'm not sure whether those ones, I saw those ones during the presidential or the local authority elections. But for the local authority elections, and just saw one guy. And those guys played a lot of audios and... We've got to improve on politics, guys, because this is just something else. So anyway...
Yeah.
If you look at, the minister touched on a lot of things, but,
I made notes.
He touched on a lot of things. Housing was one of them. Let me just say development in general and also financing and how the regional local authority elections can, local authority leaders can go through the Minister of Urban and Rural Development all the way to the, you know, to the Minister of Finance to acquire alternative funding, for their developmental projects. Now, this is my favorite part is he kept going back to the legislations that govern this party, you know, these individual offices on how they can actually, have access this alternative financing.
Mm.
But, and then he came to the, where he partially talks about procurement.
Yeah.
Yeah. On how, you know, when you, during a procurement and how to put this, when you are, you know, that we must, prioritize, local, you know, local entities or local companies, if it were. And I was like,
did you see the onion that he was peeling with that discussion about procurement?
Yeah.
He said, and it doesn't mean that just to qualify that it's a Namibian registered company and then you go and see there's a whole bunch of Brazilians sitting there or Puerto Ricans or Koreans on site.
He did give one example of one entity that he found in Zambezi region.
The Zambezi one.
Yeah. It's a Zambezi name registered in Namibia. Looked at the ownership. There was Jet Li somewhere there. But
multiple Jet Lis.
I've got to stop doing this.
Nobody has a point.
Look, this is what makes home run. But the thing is, I got cracking on that part.
Mm.
Yeah. But then he's now saying, okay, you must look beyond the juristic entity that you are dealing with.
Yeah.
You must also look at the natural persons that are, you know, that are, call it the owners of that juristic entity. And that's not even that is enough. He mention something like pushing the boundaries of basically looking at the entities that you are dealing with to the point of, of looking who the shareholders are. Like, first of all, that's going to be tricky. That's one. And not impossible, just tricky.
Yeah.
Yeah. Two, that is going to take us to the legislations. And we are talking about the Procurement Act here.
Yeah.
Yeah. In terms of awarding contracts, does the Public Procurement Act go beyond go to that extent? Does the Procurement Act go to that extent in terms of its screening process of who, for example, a public entity should award a tender to? Because if it doesn't, implementing that is going to be a little tricky.
No, all the implementation, Helmut, everything he mentioned was spot on.
Yeah.
Everything the minister touched on, Helmut, was spot on, specifically when it gets to the procurement discussion of things. Because we obviously saw with the Oshikade Aikoto that the discussion was a hot potato. People were playing rugby hot potato.
Yeah, because they didn't want to deal with the
exactly
consequences that comes with
the... There was a new standing committee visit to... What was the place? Is it in Kavango West this time? Where they discovered the hospital TB ward is playing the role of another ward, and the TB patients were moved into the general ward alongside everybody else that's sick there, which could lead to reinfection and further proliferation of infections between people who didn't show up with TB symptoms, now leaving or ultimately being technically, admitted for a longer stay because they were exposed to TB patients.
Yeah.
And this is that's just from an oversight visit that took place today. So... The minister touched on many things. The downside with what the minister obviously is aware of when it comes to procurement, even on a local authority platform, is that a lot of this has to be within the spending parameters, and oversight is also an issue as micro as possible on a local authority
level,
which makes things also a bit difficult, because he also cited a very good example, and he had many examples that he discovered in the past year, the past 10 months of last year, being the discussions around availing land for the urbanization discussion to avoid the occurrence of shacks, which could, we could have identified this way back, and for some reason it is, like he said, it's been taking us 30 years of work in progress status, or WhatsApp statuses, or work in progress terminology, which is an interesting thing, because we really need to start seeing the success rolling out.
Yeah.
Helmut, I can't emphasize why, yes, when we've spoken about the policies and the implementation in yesteryear editions of the Home Run and here on Eagle FM, that means all the platforms and the shows specifically that I did, where you are also anchoring on specifically during the past 4 years and 5 years here on Eagle FM, all the shows that I have anchored and presented on, there was an overwhelming statement that many of our callers kept making. It's political will, political will, political will. But I can go a step better than that. It's not actually about political will.
What is it about?
Helmut, we've got laws, acts, and systems. During the previous cycle, before 2025, there were many fallouts between opposition parties and the minister that we had that time, as Minister of Urban and Rural Development, that being Minister Erastus Otoni, where the minister wants to do something or wants to intervene means possibly something might go wrong. That's what intervene tries to do. Or sometimes it's, the other kind of intervene, which would then make it interference. And the discussion had been, for example, things like how local authorities are viewed as massive employment hubs. Yes, they are supposed to be generating the economic activity with the employment cycles. But on the level specifically where... councillors now want to go and sit literally on the appointment panel, on the interview panel. Or the councillors go and say together, because that was a suspicion I had. There was a very high profile example of that in local media across the country regarding a specific appointment of a PA in Marintal, not mentioning names, not mentioning names, but we obviously have to look at things objectively.
Yeah.
Because Sankwasa makes a good statement. Now, remember, this is just a statement that he's making. We obviously still have to see things in motion and in action. So I get the point he's making. Counselors should not interfere, for example, in employment activities or in local recruitment activities by the regional and the local regional council and local authorities. Meaning you, the counselor, if it's not your position to be there in the recruitment panel discussion to interview the PA to the mayor or the PA to the CEO, what? Who does that? What are you doing?
Too much conflict of interest? What's going there? What's going on there?
It's interference. And he makes a good point.
Yeah.
Because the minister cited, if you are a counselor, you are there to give guidance. The ordinary staff, the guys who are the 8-to-5s who've been there for the past 20 years, they're the ones that are supposed to implement things and to go ahead with the developmental agenda of the country. The counselors should just come along, bring any headaches, issues, challenges, complaints from the community that they represent in their constituencies and come voice it in the council meetings. And then the permanent staffers, the public servants and civil servants, then see how they can alleviate that problem. Straightforward, Helmut. I don't see the rocket science. I don't see the Greek language implemented in that piece of English I just said.
Yeah.
It's literally how we need to look at local authorities functioning. And this is the only part where I agree with, I agree a lot with Minister Sankwasa's statement. There has been a great disconnect between central government and local authorities and regional councils.
I don't have a problem. The disconnect is a bad idea because... but I think, isn't this what we are talking about in terms of, when we talk about decentralization? Now, in terms of the decentralization in a sense that you don't want anything to be, to be given a go ahead from the state house, even if it's taking place in the deepest parts of the Kavango region. So, I know the reason why I'm not against the statement of that disconnect between the central government and the local and the regional authority is that decentralization doesn't mean you have to cut off. Decentralization means there's a clear chain of oversight, established.
Mm.
But you have power to implement a lot of things that's required to make service provision much easier for the people on the ground.
Yeah,
you don't have to to send everything to the you don't have to send everything to Windhoek, which is why I think we ended up in that hot potato with that hot potato example of the Oshakati courtroom door.
Mm.
Because no one wanted to to deal with the consequences that comes with not following the Public Procurement Act.
Mm. I mean, okay, if we take procurement out of this, Helmut, firstly, there are services that need to be rendered. Now, this is where the other particular point, the other dimension, which ties in the procurement aspect of things as well.
Yeah.
Because I genuinely think if we had to look at the procurement discussions we've had before, for example, like the procurement tracker that we always dissect, specifically here on the home run, that brings in a new dimension regarding procurement. Is that potentially, I think the local authorities and the regional councils must have functioning websites where they need to list and publicize data regarding procurement and public works and projects. Cause, it's about time that if we really want to roll out a sufficient enough, e-governance platform across Namibia, it has to start on the lowest of local levels of the country. And then it cascades upwards. Yes, obviously, there is a big problem with Namibians updating their websites, making them actual resources that you can interact with. But it's about time that we literally adopt the aspect of interacting with a multifaceted resource that is literally a very helpful resource in the modern day age. Now, when I say that, Helmut, this should mean that that local authorities and regional councils should not just have a website for the sake of that you can just see the website there as a placeholder.
Yeah.
It should actually have resources on it, meaning updated council minutes, updated council or
start with functioning tabs.
Functioning tabs, that too, or that it's actually not red listed by your Mozilla Firefox web browser for being or for having a what's it called? An expired certificate in terms of safety. So, and yes, there are still ministries that have those particular problems, which actually stops many people's browsers from accessing the resource.
Yeah.
So the resource is there. The resource needs to be maintained. The resource needs to be there. Now, if you just think about that, about a website, it then the same mentality of maintenance. Now, I heard one of the dumbest discussions in my life. Luckily, they're not Namibians, so I can talk bad about them. And this is when I went to that discussion back in last year to about the automotive industry discussion that was held that I was invited to at Gross Barman to observe. And I spoke to two Zimbabwean guys and one Botswana guy. And in some way we ended up with a discussion of the facilities where we'll be hosted. I won't mention names as well again, but the one guy said, you know what, getting to the faster point, in some parts that they discovered, for example, back in their home country in Zimbabwe, is that there is no word in the vernacular or in their mother tongue back then for the word maintenance. But then, it's not an excuse for us Namibians.
What does that have to do with the actual maintenance?
I really don't know, Helmut, because I've heard so many Namibians who come from a village who will come and explain to you actual maintenance that they work, that they conduct at the village.
Okay, now I have one question.
It was a lazy excuse.
It was just
a very lazy excuse.
A very lazy one.
A very lazy one that also tries to say, you know what, don't take us serious as Africans, but I'm a fellow African.
There are a lot of things that I can think of. Well, I think if you look at the English language itself.
Yeah.
Yeah. You are looking at words like fiancé, for example. That's French.
The whole of the English language,
Hamad. It's borrowed Latin, German, Greek, but they implement a lot of things.
Not even that. Not even the borrowed parts. If you have to look at the largest part of the English language that literally is French.
Yeah.
The worst
for about 2,000 years, French was. For about 200 years, French was the official language.
Yeah,
and then a lot of more like aristocratic language called it official.
And that's everything that happened after William the Conqueror showed up there and declared himself king of England. That's it.
And the Idi Amin is the dictator. You people are joking.
That's all. And William the Conqueror he didn't even have a right to the French throne.
That's because he was not of, let me guess, noble blood.
He could have been the son of a concubine 5 lines away. Well, that's the politics of the day that happened back then.
Monarchy is crazy.
Yes, it is. But the thing is still, if you ask any French-speaking person that has decent command of English, ask them, is English a badly pronounced version of French? They will say yes.
Absolutely yes.
So, besides that particular scenario that I highlighted there, which was a problematic way of thinking about things, Namibia has the capacity, we do have the capacity, Ahmed, to maintain resources in this country and to maintain infrastructure. It's not that difficult. We like bragging about roads, and our roads actually last longer than Zambian roads, for that matter, whether they are built by Chinese contractors or Namibians. Our roads actually last. I know, I've just poked up, the Zambians in the eye. So next time I get there at Livingston, they'll go like, Iwe, you were talking there.
So it's you.
So yeah, we'll just be taking a quick ad break, dear listeners, and come back right after this.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Welcome back to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. But before we continue, let's take a live read.
UNAM online hostel registration for 2026. The University of Namibia informs students that online hostel registration for 2026 opened on 12 January and will run until 27 February 2026. Only students who applied for residence and received official placement confirmation may register online. Access to hostel will not be granted without proof of residence registration. Students placed on waiting lists may be considered if spaces become available. For assistance, students are advised to contact their respective residence offices.
And we continue with today's home run. And the topic under discussion here is I don't want to say Sankwasalization, but that's what
just say Namibia first. Sankwasas Namibia first.
Yeah.
He started off with that, brah.
Just so you know, we are not invading Botswana.
Yeah. Or, nor are we.
We're not tariffing anyone.
Well, I want to go take the Orange River. Look, I've got familial roots there, you know.
That's one discussion we don't want to have. Every time we come together, we're like, now let's meet on the 20th of June and talk about the Orange River. And then we meet on the 20th of June. But the way we had to...
My plan is very straightforward, Helmut. Since I have literal roots in South Africa, on the other side of the river.
Ancestral roots.
And this side of the river.
Yeah.
I just decided, you know what? Just go grab a river. Go do a thing. Dwight shows up there, you know, in Fial schooner, shorty, and bare-chested with a little bit of, with a major tan. Literally to sunburn or some form of sun cancer.
Julius Malema will show up with, you know, Kiss the Namibian. Now, the thing is, the ministry, for those of you that have been living under a rock, the Ministry of Urban and Rural Development yesterday hosted an induction workshop for newly elected regional and local authority officials, councillors and officials that were actually in attendance of this event, where they were addressed by the minister. And in the beginning of the speech, I learned that anything the minister say, just laugh.
Have a suspicion, Helmut, with the guys that were laughing there for his punchlines, because they were all punchlines.
Uh-huh.
They were probably just as good as you, Helmut. But they were punchlines nonetheless.
Oh, yeah, they were.
Yeah.
You know.
I think those were the guys that worked in the ministry.
And, you know, a few
because when the camera keeps panning to the crowd or the audience, I'm looking for the people that sit with smiles. Because a person with a smile that laughed at the punchline would be expecting another punchline because they knew the speech would go on for an hour and a half.
You know who also killed me?
Who?
The MC.
The MC that was looking for the regional, the mayor of Ngurunguru.
He kept mixing stuff up.
Yeah.
And, skipping, actually, I was supposed to introduce these ones, but we'll be with you guys shortly. And the thing is, when someone that is whose native language is more familiar to you speaks English,
yeah,
even that English sounds like your native language.
Yeah,
yeah. There's a part where he's, you know, where he's kept, I think, you know, a group that he was supposed to introduce.
Mm.
Yeah, well, instead of saying I skipped, he said I jumped. The thing is, that makes sense in Rukwangari and Thimbukushu, but it doesn't make sense in English.
Yeah, because you were wondering, where did you jump to?
Well, I jumped. Narei, it makes sense in Thimbukushu, but... Look, I understood it, but
no. But the worst part is, was looking for the mayor. Was it the mayor or the CEO of Ngurunguru? Yeah, we send you an invite. Where are you? Now I'm here waiting. Okay, now the cameraman must pan out, and I'm seeing this hand in the crowd doing. I'm here, but I'm not seeing anything.
Nada.
Zero. Yeah, we sent you an invite. Where are you? The minister is here, by the way. I'm like, what? So you just want to prove to the minister now that you are working? That you invited people?
Yeah, and there's someone that was pointed out that I know this individual will not be showing up because they are on official duty. And the MC was like, yeah, I hope you notified the minister. I was like, dude, he's not going to eat you.
but on.
Okay, the road to Rivundu is through Rundu, so I'll keep quiet.
But it's a good point. You actually rested there with regards to prioritization of activities, should I say. So the example the minister gave of the one regional council that wanted to go attend regional council sports games in Lesotho and did not have money literally 2 weeks later or more than 2 weeks later to pay salaries, with the minister even saying, I won't mention names. Literally, guys, this is what the minister said. I won't mention names.
I thought it was just us.
And then he cited the prioritization of, just how these officials actually prioritize certain particular activities. Now, I would have asked the question, why do you need to go play local authority sports games? I mean, does that actually lead to Namibians representing Namibia somewhere of an international or Olympics of local authority athletes? The last time I checked, I don't know of any such rubbish, Hamoud. I'm sorry for using the word rubbish. I don't know of such rubbish. I don't know why this exists. If you are paid a salary, go to the gym. Straightforward.
Don't fly out of the country to attend to...
And then claim SNT, and then things must be budgeted for. But he said there was money set aside in the budgeting.
Oh, wait, for that...
For that activity. But they didn't, they almost did not have money at the end of that month for salaries.
Okay, here's the thing. Isn't that supposed to be part of their financial records? That
exactly.
Must be, in, you know, that must be provided,
exactly.
To, you know, when they are reporting to as to what they have spent the budget allocation they were given on.
Exactly.
Okay, is that one of those things that they are required legally to spend money on, or is it just something they throw in there?
Hamoud, you can send an email and say, Eknani, I don't want to be there. We're not sending anyone. Why must you go and play sports as a regional council in Lesotho? Because you and...
Promote Namibia sports, which sport?
Hamoud, it's a ridiculous, it's a ridiculous idea. It's literally a ridiculous idea. It's like this thing that I heard of that apparently exists in the media, that there's a media team. I was like, what? Nah, man. Just go walk around your block, wherever you stay.
Media team?
Supposedly, it's a football team.
Oh, okay.
I mean, these particular kinds of events don't make sense. If I want to watch real athletes, I'll try and, you know, organize my time to watch sport over the weekend here in Namibia. I'll go watch a football match. I'll go watch a rugby match. I'll go watch a tennis match. Heck, Hamoud, there is free under-19 cricket happening here in Windhoek.
Yeah.
I'll go watch them because I want to have real entertainment. I don't want to go watch a bunch of roly-poly 40-year-old men struggling to keep up with the ball. Not even with the match. Keep up with the ball. Yes, guys, I use the phrase roly-poly because some of us really do look like, you know, Humpty Dumpties when we put on shorts and a t-shirt and some football boots.
Let's just, we have 20 minutes. We have 29 minutes. I'm still going to... 21. not 29, 21.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Now let's come back. Let's come back to the procurement, because that part really, really caught my attention, and the emphasis
yeah.
on local entities, and it's a okay. First of all, for one, it's a sounding like where he drew the inspiration of Namibia First, yeah, because it's leaning towards protectionism.
Not really, Amut.
No, why?
Okay, first and foremost, if you live in a town, yeah. let's say you live in Divundu,
mm-hmm.
in Divundu, you'd like to see aspects of a well-tarred road, pavements developed, certain things.
Now, one point just skipped 3 points, but continue. Go through them one
so,
by one.
And you look at, because you want to see that.
Yeah.
Né? And obviously because there's a regional council in the region of where Divundu fights itself.
Yeah.
You would then also hope that regional council has decentralized healthcare, meaning there's a clinic
mm-hmm.
accessible to the community of Divundu. There's a police station. There's a post office. There is a telecoms ICT provider. Mm-hmm. Like you can buy airtime and internet services. You can pay for things there.
Yeah.
You should have those basic things covered. It attracts, it's almost like attracting the flies. I know it's a bad reference, but it attracts the private sector investment, because then a retail store sees, oh, the basics are sorted out. There's a police station. There's a post office. There's this, there's that, there's this, there's a school, there's a clinic. There are people with salaries here. Let me put up a shop. Then another business comes and puts up a shop. And so it goes on. And then what happens? Development flourishes.
Now, in this development, as a regional or local authority official, and you have all this money, whether one that you acquired through borrowing through all the legal channels,
yeah,
or one that you acquired from the from the Ministry of Finance with the annual budget allocations,
yeah,
and you are there are a lot of things that you want to procure, and yeah. you have a lot of private entities that are just around you in close proximity that you'd actually use for that have applied for the bids that you have made available.
Mm.
That's one heck of a screening process to basically go through and make sure that, first of all, one, the company that I'm going to award this tender must be Namibian owned and Namibian registered, Namibian owned,
Namibian run,
Namibian run.
Yeah,
yeah. Now, which it's in itself, it's not a big problem if you ask me, but here's the thing.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Yeah,
yeah. But here's the thing. There are a lot of things that you can also, there are a lot of things. Now, I'm talking on the side of the local Namibian entity owners now.
Mm.
Because in terms of upping our, in terms of upping our progress in sense of, of how we do things.
Mm.
Because you and I talked about, the Namra prefabricated accommodations
yeah.
at the border.
And the supposed courtrooms that the prefab courtrooms that Ministry of Justice needed before exactly. 2020.
Yeah. Now, the thing is, this is where that's the part that kept taking me back to the public-private forum of last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is a collabo that's going to be run by both the public and private, where they have to complement each other. One of them actually have to play, they should each play their roles in a very competent way. Otherwise,
exactly.
we'll just be wasting our times.
Exactly.
If there's a bid available, you apply for a tender,
yeah.
and 2-3 months down the line, you're abandoning everything because, well, I underquoted you.
Yeah. Or you didn't anticipate 3 months down the line that the price of your inputs was going to increase.
Isn't that like something that you should have factored in your calculations?
Exactly. They should have gone and negotiated a price lock. Now, here's the other thing, just to answer your question also on protectionism. Doesn't it look like protectionism?
Yeah.
So in many scenarios, Hamud, that developmental aspect, and it's a good point you brought in because it starts with procurement, or local procurement.
Yeah.
So.
And you want to support local.
Exactly. Meaning, remember our example of local procurement regarding a bank?
Yeah.
That, let's say one of the retail banks in Windhoek won't use a construction company from Divundu.
They just found then.
And they don't know the track record of this company In terms of dealing.
Oh, track record. That's also one phrase that, one word that was, track record. That's one phrase that was emphasized.
Yeah. Now, before we continue, we'll quickly take a short break, guys, and we come back.
Omarandisiro, we hira kamwaha. Yanje ombango batule wana mibia otukondwa tokolo mbanda. Inga omachivisiro omana hepero chinene, okulako ministry otutungo no wikunwa, omivano matuni no wehi. Alikane puratene na wa numuhana sane ombulenji kuunepo wetu nduroye olararanganda no mapanga. Ominara shike, ominara kusha omahiwo kolo mbanda mo Namibia, omahiwo holo mende nuka yesokura ndisiwa munga mwa omano auhe. Okukara norupa munga mwa omangulilo ngasha mano marandisiro po, omarandiro wa mahi ochina chichiri penje oveta. Oveta yomatuni wa mahi wa kolo mbanda, oveta oisha tano yombura inji onayewali nambali, isha era oukahu onga nolonjito ohamukua na indo. Omberero yomarandisiro wa mahi penje oveta. Olomberero lokoshi veta, ovakatuke oveta mapea avehunga mwa iyo olomberero lokufuta oshimaliva po omberero yokukara mondeko. Ondombero yongaro ombwa yoshiwana. Okulandisa po, okulanda ehiro kolo mbanda, marire ochinashi machitwara kolo njaka halomahi nomba meno mokatiko viwana vietu. Muhepa okushuwa shike, ehiro kolo mbanda ehiretu atuhe, oro omahaneno woburo yetu, jima iso kuyeta ombwiro komundu auhe. Okutida obiruma twa vietu, kehiyo mwano wakutenga ehiretu rokolo mbanda, etemonao tuyanja ondenge rokondengu yombadu yetu, nokushevera olondendera detu. Chivisa obishitwa vyo penje oveta. Chuno mahaka wangamwa omangulilo wa penje oveta, alikana chivisa omahakango kuhona pare ombadu, ochirata shomahi wakamuha, po kombero yo ministri njiri popedu noruko ndwaroye. Katungule pamwe, okushevera olongulo detu rokolo mbanda, na rolonti tona la muhuka. O ministri kaina kukara no medirie wangamwa ombanjarero yolomburo lehi, duma de twa iyo marandisiro wa mahi wokolo mbanda penjio veta. Lemburu kakusha, kehiro wokolo mbanda ochina ochihude, gaturi tide kehiyo ngaro ombwa, nunji nongulikiro kubandu abehe. Okuhepa koma unguliru wakumwe, ombude yorati yonji, yadikamisi wapamwe no batulo ishimariwa okulako horomende ya Namibia, no horomende yehiro bando ishi, okupitira mwombanga yomekulisiro yehiro bando ishi. Konjivisiro yoko murungu, alikana hakaena kweno mbero yorupa roma unguliru wakumwe, kweno shiwana, mwaministri yotutu ngono wikunwa, omeba no matuni no wahi, po kongole no mora inji, onora, ohambo umwe, oimwe, ombali, onora, ohambo nda tu ohambo mbali ohambo umwe ombali no muri.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back, and we continue. So we 12 minutes to go, so you were saying.
Yeah.
And then so, you were actually, you know, you're actually touching on my last point, which is, you know, with your bank example of an established institution that is trying to expand its infrastructure, for example, it's not just going to go to any local environment and try to find someone that they can work with, especially on something as crucial as, you know, maybe designing or building or installing something. Yeah. So they have the chances are very high. They've already a group of people that they've worked with and gained trust in a way that they actually deliver their services.
Yeah,
yeah, and now they don't want to take chances on something someone that's new just on account that they are you know supporting local.
Now that's the one example.
Yeah.
The other example is, let's say if you're a retailer, you can use any local contractor there to construct the business outlet, you know, where you're going to sell the stuff. You can use anyone there.
Yeah.
You just give them the plans. They just deal with the project manager and there you go. Voila. Bob's your stuff. Or Bob's your uncle. The concern obviously comes in, Helmut, is also discussion of, like the minister said, how the procurement is observed, meaning it's sometimes treated like a cash cow, like an ATM.
Mm-hmm.
Some contractors having higher preference than other contractors. There's no breakthrough for new guys into this discussion, which makes things problematic because a lot of the smaller towns outside of Windhoek that I've seen, they've got very little population densities. Super limited.
Yeah.
If you go to a place like Omurura, Helmut, you can ride with your bicycle from one side of the town to the other side of it, and you won't still not be exhausted.
I've been to towns where you can literally walk from one end to another.
You can play cricket, ne, in that street that runs through the town, ne, and then the whole town has shown up, and then it looks like you're having a World Cup cricket final right there on that street, on that main street.
Yeah.
So, the other consideration also about local procurement and public procurement has been how it's going to be utilized. Now, we didn't spend enough time on the land thing.
Yeah.
But this is what makes things interesting. And it's actually a good point the minister raises. And I have said this many times. These property prices for barren, or like the term is virgin land. It's not even land that it's connected to any services. Who went and calculated these prices? I have not heard of a human that has created a continent in his life. I have not heard of this crap. I almost said crap. I have not heard of this misguided planning thinking.
Month end is next week, dude.
I know. And I'm not even emotional, but the logic is just, it's just bowling me over.
Yeah.
I still have to go research specifically the determined governmental land rates that the minister cited in his speech. Because I like to know and literally correlate this to things that are happening in this country, Helmut. Things outside of Windhoek, in Windhoek even. How do they get to these price tags?
There's an influence coming from somewhere.
Helmut, how does connecting water and electricity on Groot Oop cost you 7,000-8,000?
Hey?
How does connecting water, mass housing projects or handovers that took place in Karibab, how did it cost 75,000?
Okay,
in Karibab, 75,000 versus 78,000 in Groot Oop? You're not even in Windhoek?
Yeah, don't try that in Windhoek.
I think Windhoek is somewhere between 70,000 and 75,000 to connect. But still, even. Why do these local authorities have the perspective of a sales function, meaning selling the land, instead of us saying, okay, Helmut, you're 19 years old. Apply, you can come and apply. Put your name down on the list. We'll see where we can allocate stuff. Annually, we start clearing land. We allocate versus various blocks. Yeah. There's actually a monitoring system in place so that you don't have one guy coming and putting his name on five different spots over 5 years. No. You have one chance. You get it for free. All you need to pay for is the connection fees. Bob's your uncle. There you go.
I think that on the insane from the look of things price tags, I think that would be much easier to more like understand if you to look at what math goes into how they end up determining the final price of how much servicing a piece of land and which part of the country is going to cost.
Helmut,
yeah.
If a human can prove to me that they can make land,
and
I will agree. The only reason why I probably have not turned into the next level of land activism in Namibia.
Yeah.
Okay, yes, I'm someone that, you know, one moment I get emotional and the other moment I'm not bipolar. I'm just saying I'm not bipolar, guys. But one moment you go like, you think about a thing and an idea and then you calm down and you think logically again because you then realize you're not in control of the ship.
Yeah.
So you don't have any way of influencing the ship. Even if you vote for some local councillor. The downside is, not even the councillors go and ask or interrogate with the full-time staff of these local councils and authorities, how did you get to this price? Because I'll tell you now, an engineering and a surveyor guy's prices are not that severe that they can literally cause virgin land to cost $250,000.
So the price of if you compared the price of of the services from the engineers and surveyors and the and the products that's used in the service, in the servicing of that land, it doesn't reasonably amount up to that amount of money.
It probably might, but here's the thing, Hamoud. Is the local authority really going to tell me that their budget, for them, their whole survival depends upon selling plots of land? Last time you and I know, what did Sankwasa say? He has to approve their budgets. And the last time I know, Windhoek is the largest allocator or is the largest contributor of income generation activities through rates, taxes and other services that residents have to pay for. Windhoek pays the biggest sum over to the state. So the question then starts popping up in terms of, you can then understand places like Windhoek and potentially Swakop and Walvis Bay versus the rest of the nation.
And now we have, we're coming to the end of the show. Now, the final and most important part that I think the minister did not touch on.
Mm. I actually liked that he cited a bunch of acts.
Advertising.
Okay, advertising.
Yeah, we like crossing our fingers. And this is, I think it's very true for, this is more true in the public sector than it is in the private sector. At least that's one thing I've observed during during my time here. The private sector really puts in a lot of emphasis into getting the information of what they're doing out there.
Yeah.
But for the public sector...
And how does the public sector know when to tender for things? Somewhere?
Is it just a...
Must you be on an emailing list? Must you be on a WhatsApp group?
A Facebook, like you said.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of Facebook posts that they do, but the assumption that many of these local authorities and regional councils have is that they assume that every Namibian is on there.
Yeah.
But then the only Namibians that are there are the Namibians literally that can afford internet, electricity, water and power at the end of the month and any other associated costs. Those are the only Namibians that can apply potentially for those procurement opportunities. So once again, people are being left out. As opposed to, they need to put it in widely accessible mediums like us, Eagle FM, 101. Start with us, guys.
You can listen to the radio in the middle of nowhere.
Exactly.
Good luck accessing internet.
So, and this is the one thing that I believe that the minister should have included. To help local procurement be as, what do you call that word? Not resilient, man. To flourish, but to have the best level or to provide the best level of bidding competition. Mm-hmm. You know, the competitiveness of the bidding processes for the activities.
Yeah.
Is that these local authorities, these village councils, these municipalities, these town councils, these regional councils must advertise. And not use Inky Pinky Ponky or Humpty Dumpty or, those other elimination activities that is literally akin to a 5-year-old who needs to decide between which of the power sour flavors in his cherry tots packet he needs to select through, meaning the lesser, which one of the favorite evils he wants to engage in.
Yeah.
It has to be a broad-based scenario. And they've got to advertise with all local Namibian media because we are service providers. Whether we provide the service expressly, meaning we go and submit quotations and bids, or whether we play a particular role in our reporting even. But that was the one crucial element that was left out. And I hope the minister is listening, or he's ED. Mark a plan.
Yeah, because it's all going to boil down to information sharing.
Yeah.
And information sharing means a medium of reaching the right people.
I mean, Hamoud.
More like your target, your target audience.
I mean, Hamoud, the minister cited, he doesn't want the protectionists, getting back to the protectionism thing.
Yeah.
he doesn't want to see a joint venture in spirit, company registration and ownership.
Yeah.
And on the ground, you find, you know, you find Mark and Thomas and Asterix and Obelix there. No, you go and find Namibians who submitted bids at the local authority for their procurement and
for an institution they own.
Exactly. And to participate and in a project, a project made for Namibians.
Yeah. Now, I'm all, believe me, for the projects made for Namibians, but, Namibians, we have got to pull up our socks if we are going to go with the whole, because, this is, now, if you ask me, you remember the conversation we had with Big Ben about, public officials, especially those ones that are situated in embassies all across the planet to work with the creative sector to put Namibia's creative content out there.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I think that's exactly in terms of representing, local private entities here, you know, here in Namibia. In prioritizing them in a lot of these bids that are being made available by different, you know, public entities. I think, what Big Ben was pointing out in that discussion is what the minister is trying to do here. Except, he can only advocate for local, for local businesses to apply and also, to apply for, you know, for these bids, once they're made available. And also for the, for the institutions, especially the public sector, that's advertising these tenders to prioritize local entities. But, the local entities also have then the burden to make sure that once they find themselves being a recipient of this, a recipient of one or two of these bids, please see things through. Because it will be very disappointing for me to, to advocate for you. And then you keep, disappointing me by turning around and saying, I underquoted you.
The worst part is, Hamoud, is the other point. I know we are literally crunched for time now.
Now we have 2 minutes to wrap it up.
Okay, 2 minutes that we appropriated, guys. Don't worry. And this is a point that the minister highlighted that I had suspected very long. Many people, specifically in the media, would blame a minister, a deputy minister, for the ministry not performing. But if you remove the minister and the ministry still does the same things, still, you know, does the same sort of like illogical actions or commits various kinds of weird activities, then it's the everyday public servant and civil servant that works there.
Administrative flaws?
Lack of governance, lack of oversight,
lack of accountability,
lack of actually showing up and doing your work, because many of the particular things that actually happen across this country is because no one is disciplining or taking accountability of the actions of the everyday public and civil servants. If you know in the private sector, Hamoud, 3 strikes and you're out and you lose your job.
Yeah.
I've heard ugly cases in the public sector. The people don't even come to work even. They don't even submit an explanation as to why they don't come to work, because the supervisor that is in charge of them doesn't care about whether or not the person comes to work or not.
That's not lack of oversight. That's
that's an overall culture, a work culture or professionalism culture that is void. And Namibians know this. Namibians know this. It feeds into the lack of discipline that you find in local authorities and regional authorities. How many times have we heard of people with sticky fingers on these local authorities and village councils and the likes? People pay for water and electricity, and NamPower, NamWater comes and disconnects things, and then the town council, the village council, the municipality are quiet or silent. And no one wants to explain why the town is switched off, but the town, but the residents are angry. They're asking, but I paid. I just paid.
Yeah, what happened to the money that I paid?
And then supposedly there's some sort of there's just not a clear answer.
There's a way, there's just too much wele and so.
There's not even wele and so. There's like,
as I was saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or We will get back to you.
We will get back to you. And then they, you know, just walk out. Speaking of walking out, we are 5 minutes into David. That is a business and economic segment time. So that brings us to the end of Home Run for today, where we talked about the recently held induction workshop for the newly elected regional and local authority councillors, among other officials held by the Ministry of Urban and Rural Development yesterday in Rundu. So for Home Run, at least for me, until tomorrow, same time, same place here on your favorite radio station, Eagle FM. You stay blessed, and please do stay tuned for Business and Economic segment with David.
Enjoy the rest of your evening, guys. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow.